How well are we preparing students for the real world? Well, my next guest runs a module for third level students, which hopes to turn them into critical thinkers. Professor Brian McKenzie of Maynooth University's Centre for Teaching and Learning is with me in studio. Brian, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, you have this massive cohort of students coming into Maynooth every year. Can you assess just how much or how little critical thinking they have under their belts?
That it's hard to assess how much critical thinking or not they have, because critical thinking has to be connected to a discipline, right? But if we look at the end, the finish line of a third level student when they graduate, there's a great study by the HEA in 2015 about outcomes of graduates. And they basically interviewed new employers who had hired new graduates. And they said, these new graduates, what do they do well and what do they not do well? And all across Ireland, it turns out that new third level graduates don't communicate well. They can't present complex arguments in writing or in public speaking. They don't have the confidence or the breadth to do that.
All right. Now, you would maintain this begins in second level, this the lack of ability. I mean, if you look at the first level, the primary level, as the supplying the building blocks, literacy, numeracy, a little bit of general knowledge, but basically it should be creating an appetite for learning in the student.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the issue, I would say, definitely runs from second level into third level. And that's why Maynooth reformed its curriculum with this concept of graduate attributes. I mean, the Leaving Cert does some things very well. And the students who go through the Leaving Cert actually come out with some specific strengths.
Which are?
So I would say maturity and discipline. And, you know, this is a grueling process. It's a stressful process. As a person, anyone who sits the Leaving through Cert or goes through that grows as a person, and they come out very different than when they started. So we have to take that and build at it on it from third level.
Okay, so they have an ability for hard work. They have built in some resilience because the process is so demanding. So if you're going to get through 2.5 weeks of a Leaving Cert, you've got to have a certain amount of resilience. Otherwise, you'll fall halfway through. You'll literally fall by the wayside.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I say, you know, Irish students are, if there was Olympics for test taking, the Irish would be gold medalists on this. I mean, the problem is the Leaving Cert establishes rank order, hierarchy. You have to put people in order. And that's what exams, third level exams as well, that's what they do. But the other problem is the Leaving Cert also has to sort of certify this student is capable of third level. So there's two.
But it doesn't do that.
Yeah, so that's the problem. The problem is the Leaving Cert is really good at establishing rank order. It's less good at sort of saying, look, this person has what it takes to succeed at third level. Now, to a certain extent, with maths at Leaving Cert level do predict to a certain level some your success in some subjects. But from my point of view, we need to take these students and turn them into more autonomous, self-directed learners at third level, and build on their key fundamental skills in communication.
Okay. But if the Leaving Cert is good at ranking, which you say it is, I mean, it's ranking over the 3 weeks of the Leaving Cert. It gives you a number at the end, the number of points you've achieved. It doesn't tell you, for example, too much about the person who struggled against all the odds to get their 400 points.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't tell you about the athlete who's performed at the highest level for their school while managing to get 490 points,
yep.
You know, which is the equivalent of someone else getting 700 points, such as the division of time that they've been able to allocate to the subject. So it is a flawed process.
No, I agree that it's got problems. And I think what exams do, not just the Leaving Cert, but third level exams, they're just a performance measure on the day. It's a snapshot. So, you know, if you have a great performance, whether, you know, you're in a sporting match or a musician, that's great, or an exam. But that's what it is. It's just a one-off performance
right.
measure.
Now, in terms of critical thinking, you talk about mathematics. We were always told, you know, you will get marks for your method even if you don't get the right answer, because in the hurly-burly of an exam, you can actually miss a decimal point or, you know, tot up something wrongly in a hurry, but you still get marks for method. And that's kind of more easily measured. In fact, mathematics involves the teaching of critical thinking in a way,
yeah,
because it's all the time analytical and testing yourself against the question that is posed. In other subjects, you take your geography and everyone is wondering, will tectonic plates come up or will something come up? Or you take Irish or English, what poems are going to come up? What essays are going to come up? And it is the gambler's charter.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think this is what we would call the tyranny of content. So if you look at the Leaving Cert this year, I think they're doing King Lear. So these students have been doing King Lear for 2 years. Actually, they probably know King Lear better than I do. But that's what they know. That's the content. So it's a question of saying, that's great. You definitely have the ability to master content if it's given to you and you know what to study. But that's not what we're interested in at third level. And by the way, that's not what your employers are interested in either. So it's crucial to have a module where you can have the space for students to take intellectual risks and you can have students sort of explore and become more well-rounded.
Now, in third level, where you have tutorials, where you have classroom discussions, where you have hopefully good interaction between the tutor or even the main lecturer and the student, that's one thing. In the Leaving Cert, they have courses, curriculum, they have marking schemes. So if you, say, make a point about King Lear, which is in the marking scheme, you get the marks, even though you might be off at half cock about other aspects of King Lear.
Yeah.
If you happen to get one particular point they want right, you get the marks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Leaving Cert almost could, in theory, be marked by a computer. There's a marking scheme and you can feed into a computer the marking scheme, which will discard all the dross and just pick out the bits that exactly correlate to the marking scheme.
Yeah.
So that doesn't tell you anything about the creative thinking of the person and taking the paper.
Nor do exams in general sort of reward risk taking. I mean, and that's really what we want to do. We want students to sort of feel comfortable. I might be an art student, but I'm going to explore some statistics. I might be an engineering student. I'm going to explore some philosophy. If you have an exam-based environment, that's third level or Leaving Cert, the ability to sort of really explore without risk, right? That's really quite limited. So we want to give students the space to explore, and that's why we have in the second year of Maynooth, students can take electives as well. So it's really about having students have some breadth and depth. So that they're more well-rounded.
Some of the comments. Critical thinking, does that mean he's going to make more tolerant, screaming liberals? God help us.
Look,
wishy-washy kind of people.
Yeah, look, that's a great... And I'll give you a great example of what I say to my students. I mean, what I want you to be able to do is back up an argument with evidence, understand assumption behind an argument. And I tell students, I don't care what your argument is. The Eighth Amendment, water charges... I don't care. But whatever side you're coming at, you need to be able to articulate it. You also need to be able to anticipate the counterarguments, and you better know how to find decent evidence to support your points.
This comment, check out the new philosophy curriculum at second level. Philosophy Ireland have worked hard to make it a reality. Will that make a difference?
So this is the great thing, and there's fantastic curriculum at second level. I'm amazed when I hear about people in transition year and what they're doing. My mind is blown away. But the problem is the curriculum ultimately feeds to an assessment. Okay, so unless there's a way of capturing that fantastic philosophy curriculum at second level in a way that's not strictly exam-based,
Isn't the problem, though, that they pay teachers, by and large, to mark the Leaving Cert. And you'll get different qualities of markers, I'm sure, but the reason you want to get uniformity across the exam system is that you create these marking schemes.
Yeah.
What you're proposing, for example, is in the philosophy paper, they examine it, but you've got to have someone who is qualified in philosophy to read that paper and read it properly and assess it and think about it and then decide on the grade, rather than someone who's just going through, yes, one of my textures here talks about SRPs, significant relevant points, and I'll come to that in a moment. Oh, there's an SRP, tick, two marks.
Yeah.
There's an SRP, five marks. You know, that kind of marking goes on. You may, on the other hand, get someone who is completely blown away by the quality of an English essay, for example.
Yeah.
That's given by somebody, and they get an A because it is so good. But if that was appealed by somebody, they say, but look at their grammar. That's appalling. But the essay is so brilliant that it deserves an A.
Yeah.
And then the question is, was it plagiarized anyway?
Yeah, well, then there needs to be some space to reward risk-taking and sort of in people who are intellectually engaged in areas outside of really tightly delineated subjects.
The worst thing about the Leaving Cert, says a texter, is the way in which young people lose sight of the value of learning and knowledge. At 18, Irish students simply learn information for the sake of points, but don't have any appreciation for the content. That's from Linda. This is the SRP text. When I studied geography at Leaving Cert, my teacher only talked about SRPs, significant relevant points. These were the points we had to include in any Leaving Cert answer. She was so obsessed with these that we lost sight of what we were learning. That's from B. A major problem is that the criteria for entry to third level are based on the Leaving Cert. This is one of the main reasons people resist reforms, so universities need to change their entry requirements. The new Educate Together secondary schools are leading reform. But the universities run the CAO.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm glad that the CAO has finally come up here, because if you want to make an interesting argument, you could actually say, leave the Leaving Cert as it is. Let's just say it does what it does. But if you actually reform the CAO system, that could take a lot of pressure off on the students, parents, and teachers. And by the way, I mean, that CAO system is being reformed. Philip Nolan, the head of Maynooth University, is chairing a reform on the CAO. I mean, the problem, a lot could be said about the CAO. I mean, I was looking the other day. Princeton has, I think, 37 undergraduate programs for entry. Harvard has 50. Trinity has 200.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would love to see really reduced number of entries into third level, because that in turn would take off pressure at the Leaving Cert level. So even if you leave the Leaving Cert alone, right, you can take some of the pressure off the students. But you're back to the second function. Are you able for third level? Right. And if we keep that as the sort of primary function of the Leaving Cert, then we can reduce the points race by reforming the CAO system.
I mean, there are arguments that suggest if you're going to do, say, the broad STEM subjects, for example, that you enter at first year university doing STEM. And then you branch off into, I mean, you can have electives as well.
Yeah.
But then you do engineering, or you do physics, or you do applied mathematics, or you do pure mathematics. But at the beginning, you kind of just take a general first year that is orientating you towards the choices that you know you want to make in your bones, but you're not quite sure which one it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's really hard to sort of vocationalize third level and say you're going to do this. Career paths are nonlinear. Chad Hurley, the guy who invented YouTube, he's got a BA in fine arts. You have an engineering background. Yeah. I mean, so you can't say, hey, that's great, you got 580 on the Leaving Cert, computer science, 4 years of that straight into Google. That doesn't work anymore, right? So you have to have students at third level who can explore different topics. And again, the payoff for them is this intellectual curiosity, this breadth and depth. I mean, I had a student in the other day, I think he's doing economics. He had this great idea for an app, right? Now, if he goes through with this app and gets it off ground, is Google going to be more impressed with a bog standard computer science degree or a business guy who develops an app, right? Mm. So you've got to have third level with this ability for students to explore these topics and have this.
Electives are very important. We know that, you know, when they added things to the Leaving Cert curriculum, like the CSP and all this sort of stuff, that people, if it's not examined, they didn't bother with it. When I went to Georgia Tech years and years ago to do a master's degree, I took electives, even though I was doing engineering and thermodynamics. My electives were music and politics. Little did I know that these would come in useful later on.
Absolutely.
This wasn't my intended career direction. Now, what about the course you're running in creative thinking?
So this is a first-year module, and it's open to basically all first years coming into Maynooth University. And what we want to do is we basically want to help students transition from second level to third level. And like I said, build on some of their strengths that they have, this level of maturity, this discipline. But they have their learning has been highly structured, right? So as I said, they're pretty good at it in some ways. But we want the students to have a lot more confidence, autonomy, and self-directed learning. And we want to do it in a small class where we can actually start working on writing intensive public speaking in a small class environment, because this does a couple interesting things as well, Pat. First of all, it forms a peer group. So we know that students who succeed at university have strong peer groups. It could be through societies, through sports. And it, again, it doesn't matter whether they're science students or art students, right? So we can form a peer group in their first year by having small classes where they're doing lots of team projects and low-risk assessments. And then we can get them confident through public speaking in this small class and taking some risks that they're not going to be punished for. So have class debates. Have them go edit Wikipedia on their own, right? So if we can do these things, and it exposes students to other disciplines as well, because the students are all different programs. So we have this great intellectual ferment where you have a psych student working with an art student, working with an anthro student.
What's the first year intake generally in Maynooth? How many people?
I think, look, we're probably close to, I think this year, 2,000, give or take.
So how many people can take your course?
So we didn't turn away people this year. We had, I think, 800. Now, there's some one or two subjects, and they're so strictly delineated, they can't take the critical skills module. I think primary school education, right? So it's just so clear cut what they have to take. We can't take them. But I mean, we're very happy to have as many students. We want them to come in this, and the resources are there for it. So, yeah, absolutely.
Some of the texts, has our education system anything to do with intelligence? Another one, my nephew who learns essays off by heart that the teacher has written, how on earth does this prepare students for anything? Not an ounce of critical thinking. The Leaving Cert is a memory test in general. However, my daughter got 600 points without a lot of study, while my niece got 480 points with a lot of study. So therefore, my daughter's intelligence shone through. At the end of the day, the cream always rises to the top. Well, who knows?
But I mean, and that's so she did a really good exam. And as the Leaving Cert, as an exam, it measures your performance on that day for the exams. And again, I mean, some people
are great performers.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
My son is in fifth year, having difficulties with English. He is really bright, straight A's usually. He knows all about the content and the analysis of the material, but has real difficulty producing a cohesive written piece of work. His exams are all based on this written work, yet his teacher has set him only two pieces of written homework all year. How can they expect kids to be able to write, especially in an exam, when they get no instruction or practice in writing?
Yeah, so this is the fundamental question, right? So I talked to my colleagues at Maynooth, and engineering faculty, history faculty, everybody agrees writing, public speaking are core fundamental skills, and they wish they could spend more time on it. But if you're teaching a class, you have to get from point A to point B in one term. You can't say, hey, look, we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to really dig down in how to construct an argument in an essay. We don't have the luxury to do that. We have to get through, I don't know if you're in a biology class, we have to do the Golgi apparatus, the Krebs cycle, and all this other stuff. So we can't stop for 3 weeks on public speaking or writing. That's what the critical skills module does. It gives us this space to do this really, really rich process-based learning.
I have a final one from a frustrated mother. I'll tell you what's wrong. As a mother of two university children and two teenagers, I notice that young people have no cop on. They are very naive. They can't spell. They don't know how to use a dictionary anymore. They believe everything they see on that stupid screen that they're addicted to on the phone. We are rearing a bunch of twits. And that's from a frustrated mother. And she has a point, doesn't she? You know, that everything that's on the screen is true, whether it's fake news or not.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the things that we do in critical skills, which I think is interesting, is we do go into a little bit of cognitive bias. So there's this great cognitive bias called Dunning-Kruger effect. And we had great fun with the students this semester. Dunning-Kruger says inexperienced people overestimate their abilities. So, for example, who knew healthcare was so complex, right? So you can tell the students about, you know, there's some interesting things like that, and say, look, you know, so how does that apply to you now that you know this Dunning-Kruger effect?
Those who wish to know the real purpose and history of schooling should read or listen to John Taylor Gatto. Don't know. Have to check him out.
Yeah.
Check out if he's TED Talk. Who knows? I'll have to check that one out. John Taylor Gatto, an American school teacher of note. But yeah, no more than that, can I tell you. All right, look, it's very interesting stuff. Professor Brian McKenzie of Maynooth University's Centre for Teaching and Learning, thank you very much for joining us in studio.